which was an excerpt from the book Inner Voice by Allama Sayyid Said Akhtar Rizvi. Our website is parstoday.com. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
لبيك اللهم لبيك
لبيك اللهم لبيك
لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
Call of Unity.
If you ask me, why do I love you? No matter where you are, we are the greatest ummah with the beating of our hearts. We are Muslims. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There's no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad al-Mustafa. Muhammad is his messenger.
In the name of Allah, the first, the one, the last, the most generous, the most merciful. We start with his name. We ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and his companions. Respected listeners, salamu alaikum.
Peace be upon Rasulullah. Peace be upon Habibullah. Peace be upon Muhammad. Peace be upon Shafi'ullah. Peace be upon Khair Khalqillah. Peace be upon Muhammad. Last of the
There are many nice moments in one's life, and we as Muslims have nice moments in this special week called the Week of Unity. Congratulations on this occasion. You hear the Call of Unity special program in regarding to this week. This program contains different parts. Use the speech of Hujjat al-Islam Barati, religious scholar and biography of a character, has important role in Unity Islamic Nation. Different viewpoint and speeches about unity. We hope you'll enjoy it. The Muslim nations have lots of sources for being united. The main source of Islam, namely the Quran and traditions of the Prophet, call for unity, cooperation, compassion, and sympathy for others, and warns us against disunity and disputes. This clearly expressed in the following Quranic verse, and hold fast together by the rope which God stretches out for you, and be not divided among themselves. Chapter 3, verse 103.
My name is Murtuza Ali. I am from Pakistan. You know that in my country, unity between Shia and Sunni and other religion is not so good. But I think that unity, nowadays unity is so important.
Now unity basically can have a positive outcome or a negative outcome. How is this possible? The American government, for example, or the Zionist regime, for example, they stand for unity, but the outcome is negative.
In the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all the Muslims in that time, they have conflicts among them, but they are one. They were united. Whenever they came to the war against Mushrikeen and Kuffar, they fight as a unit. They show unity.
You would find the Muslimin standing together, you know, which brought a positive outcome presently today, which attracted many, you know, towards this religion of Islam.
I think nowadays the Muslims, they have unity.
The concept of unity is very, very crucial regarding Islam, especially in our society and community prevalent today.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islam my deen.
Islam my deen.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad, praise be upon me. Praise be upon me. I am Muslim for all of time.
According to the speech of religious scholar Hujjatul Islam Bharati in the previous program of the Call of Unity, unity means the unity of purpose and goal. United people are diverse people, but their goal is one and the same. When they become united for one purpose, they achieve progress and success. That means power in every field. Hujjatul Islam Bharati and the effect of unity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear sisters and brothers in Islam, dear listeners, in this program, which is called Call of Unity, we are talking with you in another meeting, in another session, in this great opportunity and occasion of birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him and his progeny. This part of program is concentrating on results of unity. If there is unity in the Islamic world, what could be the results of this unity? We are now talking about these results. One of the most important results of unity is a power. The nation which is unified is a powerful nation, is a strong nation. Nobody can think about attacking this nation, invading them, or humiliating them, or insulting them. No way for this, because they are powerful and they don't let the enemies to think about it even. Then unity brings power, brings a very good situation and a very good dignity for the ummah which is unified.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ilahan wahida.
In the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the early ages of Islam, His Eminence, our glorious Prophet Muhammad, first of all, brought this unity as a gift for the society. Before emergence of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Arab Peninsula, there was a lot of conflict among tribes, among Arabs themselves. Northern Arabs, Southern Arabs were fighting with each other. Even tribes were fighting with each other. In Medina, before coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were two major tribes called Aus and Khazraj. They were fighting with each other for more than 100 years, about 150 years, for nothing, for a funny reason. And the war started because of one camel entered to the territory of other tribe, and they started to curse each other and fight each other, and somebody was killed, and then the war continued. They called this series of wars Harb al-Fujar, means the war which has no reason, has no a good aim or goal. But when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Medina, immediately he started to make a covenant among Muslims and called it the Brotherhood Treaty or Brotherhood Covenant, and made every one of Muslims brother of another person. And every two of Muslims, couple of Muslims, were brothers of each other. And they made this kind of contract with each other that they will stay with each other, they will defend each other, they will share each other in all issues of life, even their property, even their in the war, in peace, in grief, in happiness, they share with each other.
Subhanallah.
Imam Ali alayhi salam was left without a brother. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam comes to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and says, O Prophet of Allah, you made every one of muhajirin, of immigrants, immigrant Muslims, brother of one of Ansar, one of the helpers or one of the assistants of you, and you left me without any brother. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I left you for myself. You would become my myself brother, brother of myself. And also made this contract and covenant with Imam Ali alayhi salam and called him his brother. So this is the first step of unity. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took it and walked it when he came to Medina and started to construct a Muslim, a faithful society. So this should be a lesson for us in this time. Without unity, without brotherhood, there is no progress. There is no power. There is no good situation. There is no role for Muslim Ummah in this present time, in contemporary world. You know, we have a lot of facilities and abilities and opportunities, but we don't use them. For example, we are 1/4 or 25% of the population of the world, but we have no vote in the United Nations, no step in Security Council, no voice in the international organizations. And even we are attacked, we are invaded here and there, and nobody is there to defend us. So I like to end this program. Wish for you all the best.
هذا محمد طه الممجد هذا حبيبي سر المجيب عليه صلي يا متجلي
الله الله يا رسول الله 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 يا رسول الله يا أيها المختار من خير الورى صلى الله عليك ابن عبد الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليك ابن عبد الله محمد رسول الله.
We've listened to Hujjatul Islam Bharati, religious scholar, and he clarified the first factor achieved by being united. Continuance of his speech and the other parts of the Call of Unity. Stay tuned with us. Allah the Almighty states, and those who disbelieve are allies of one another. And if you, Muslim in the world, do not do so, do not become united, there will be wars and battles, and oppression on earth, and great mischief and corruption. Need and danger draw us closer to some thoughts and characters. They are noble, strong, and courageous for being united. We as Muslims should know them and use their guidance to achieve our big aim.
Allah, Allah, Subhanallah, Allah, Allah.
Heralds of Unity.
Allahu ya Allah, Subhanallah, Allahu ya Allah, walhamdulillah, Allahu wa la ilaha illallah.
Ayatollah Murtaza Mutahhari, born 1920, received his elementary education from his father, Sheikh Muhammad Hussein, in his hometown, Fariman, in Khorasan province. When he was 12 years of age, joined the Islamic Educational Center and pursued his studies there for 5 years. Then he proceeded to Qom, the great center of Islamic education. He stayed there for 15 years and completed his education in Islamic beliefs and jurisprudence under the supervision of the renowned philosopher Allama Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, Ayatollah Khomeini, and many other distinguished scholars. Then he migrated to Tehran, During the period of his education, Motahari felt that the communists wanted to change the sacred religion of Islam and destroy its spirit by mixing their views with Islamic philosophy and interpreting the verses of the Quran. In all his writings, the real object he had in view was to give replies to the objections raised by others against Islam, to prove the shortcomings of other schools of thought, and to manifest the greatness of Islam. He believed that in order to prove the falsity of Marxism and other ideologies like it, it was necessary not only to comment on them in a scholarly manner, but also to present the real image of Islam. Ayatollah Motahari wrote assiduously and continuously from his student days right up to 1979, the year of his assassination. He was one of the most versatile Islamic scholars and prolific writers of recent times, deeply rooted in traditional learning and enamored of its exponents. He was the Islamic thinker who had fully absorbed a rigorous philosophical training. Much of his work has been published in and outside Iran. The activities of Ayatollah Motahari were intolerable for the followers of Furgan, and they therefore decided to remove him from the scene. Eventually, they succeeded on the 1st of May 1979. When the sad news was conveyed to Ayatollah Khomeini, peace be upon him, he, in his condolence message, said, "I have been deprived of a dear son of mine. I am lamenting upon the death of one who was the fruit of my life." Ayatollah Motahari was a popular figure in the religious circle of Iran. At the time of his assassination, he was the president of the Constitutional Council of the Islamic Republic of Iran and a member of the Revolutionary Council. He was one of the important factors for uniting Muslims in all parts of the world.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Opponents of unity in Islamic world tries to make an illogical and unpractical concept of Muslim unity and the unity on religion. That's so obvious it can't be practical. The concept of unity in Fuqaha, religious authorities' point of view, isn't meant existing of one form of religion and omitting all others and differences. What they mean is the united form of Muslim against their enemies and everything they encounter as an obstacle in their world with variation. Motahari always tried to clarify dispute and discord as the cause of degradation among Muslim world that is a practical strategy by the enemies of Islam. That's the source of all colonizations of Islamic countries. The important factor crystallized the character of Murtaza Motahari among other Islamic thinkers is deep-sided view of him, especially in the practical definition of Islamic unity. Ayatollah Motahari believed the Holy Quran, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his progeny, and the same history, the same rules and principles in Islamic training are enough factors to make all Muslim countries united forever. He said, "It's the unity that in a brilliant form makes all discussions and debates between religious scholars of Islam more active and alive. The unity is not dispensing of the facts and beliefs in history, but it's a kind of firmness towards Muslims."
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Stay tuned. Everywhere you are, accept our congratulations on the birthday of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, on the Call of Unity. It's reported from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, "You shall not enter paradise until you have faith, and you shall not attain faith until you love each other." As we said, there are as many as 57 independent Muslim states, which are members of various international organizations. In terms of manpower, about one-fourth of the world's manpower comprises of Muslims, and in terms of resources and geographical situation, the Islamic world has a special place with the most prized wealth resources. Where are they? Do they have any important role in the scene of today's world? Hujjat al-Islam Bharati and speaking about this issue.
We talked about the first result, and now we are talking about another result of this unity. The second result could be presence and existence of Islamic Ummah in the world affairs. As we were talking in last program, we have a lot of abilities, a lot of potentialities in this world. We have a lot of wealth and power, manpower, talents, brains, and strategic points of the world are under our feet. But unfortunately, in this changing world, we have no role. We have no impact. We have no influence. They don't count us in their decision-taking. In world affairs, there is no sign, no attendance of the Muslim world. Why? Because we are not unified. If we were unified, we could be present there as China is, as Russia is, as Europe is. They have great role, decisive role in decision taking in this world, in international affairs. But we as a Muslim Ummah, despite we are a huge population with a lot of potentialities and possibilities, but we are absent there in decision taking, and they are ruling the world, governing the world without us, without sharing us in their decision taking. Why? Because we are not unified. When we talk about Islam, they ask, what kind of Islam you mean? Islam of Saudi Arabia, Islam of Egypt, Islam of Arab world, Islam of Pakistan? You are different Islams. You are different Muslims. You are not one voice. You are not one nation. So this is their excuse to neglect us, to ignore us, and to omit us from decision taking in this present world.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The real reason is our difference, our dispute, our lack of unity. This made them and encouraged them to do so and to act so. And this is very bad. This is a pity that we are ignored in this world. And they don't pay respect, and they don't want to make us share, despite they are shouting slogans of democracy. So what kind of democracy is this? The Islamic world is not participating in decision taking. You are deciding for them. This is dictatory itself. Dictatory is to govern people without their will, out of their will. And this is the dictatorship itself. It is not democracy. But why they are so there and they ignore us? Because we don't want. We have no national will, national determination. We have no one decision. We are not one body and one nation. We imagine ourselves different small nations and small tribes and governments and divided groups of people. So while we are thinking about ourselves like this, what we expect them to do? They do as they are doing now, and they practice as they are practicing now. All of the sweet words of democracy and world order and human rights and equality, you find them meaningless, senseless, while they come to the Muslim world and to the affairs of Islamic world. They forget all of this. They don't consider us human beings. They don't consider us a part of people of the world. Because how is possible to consider the world, and one village even, and talk about the world order without any presence of Muslims, without any partnership and participants of Muslims? They make the world order without us. They want to impose it upon us. They want to bring a kind of globalization or mondialization without taking Muslims in consideration or in account. Without them, it is not possible. This is very pity, but we are the reason. We hope to meet you again, and we hope, inshallah, you enjoy a very good time in this occasion and in this celebration. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salli ala
Allahumma
salli ala
salli ala
salli ala
nabiyyi
salli ala
habibina
beloved nabi. How long will it be till I see the sun rise in your eyes?
Dear listeners, Hujjatul Islam Barati, religious scholar, spoke about the abilities of Muslim and their presence and their role in making decision in the world.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Malcolm X, American civil rights activist, has interesting viewpoint about Islam. He said, America needs to understand Islam because this is the one religion that erases from its society the race problem. Throughout my travels in the Muslim world, I have met, talked to, and even eaten with people who in America would have been considered white, but the white attitude was removed from their minds by the religion of Islam. I have never before seen sincere and true brotherhood practiced by all together, irrespective of their color.
La ilaha illallah.
Leader who brought the cause of Indians' independence from British colonial rule, Mahatma Gandhi, says, someone has said that Europeans in South Africa dread the advent of Islam. Islam that civilized Spain. Islam that took the torch light to Morocco and preached to the world of gospel of brotherhood. The Europeans of South Africa dread the advent of Islam. They may claim equality with the white races. They may well dread it. If brotherhood is a sin, if it is equality of colored races, then their dread is well-founded. Dear listeners, thank you for accompanying Call of Unity. We hope you join us in the next program. Happy time on this special occasion, birthday of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the week of unity. May Allah's blessing upon you all. Goodbye.
If you ask me, why do I love you? No matter where you are, we are the greatest ummah with the beating of our hearts. We are Muslims. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There's no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad al-Mustafa. Muhammad is his messenger.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses and then we'll be back. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. For such is the state of the disbelievers, until when death comes to one of them, he says, "My Lord, send me back." That I might do righteousness in that which I left behind. No, it is only a word he is saying, and behind them is a barrier until the day they are resurrected.
The 99th verse of the chapter starts saying, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Until when death comes unto one of them, and he says, "My Lord, send me back again." Also, the 100th verse continues, لَأَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ, that I might do righteousness in that which I have left behind. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. Nay, it is but a mere word that he says. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, and behind them is a partition till the day when they shall be raised up. As you have been with us, the former verses were speaking about the stubbornness of the pagans and sinners in their wrong way. They persisted in staying on the wrong path, and these verses now depict the painful state of the unbelievers when they are on the threshold of death. In fact, it is telling us that one day the deviant will awaken and ask to be returned to the world, but this request cannot be fulfilled. Anyway, these stubborn people, these unbelievers and pagans in the world, continue their wrong way, and they continue doing so until death comes to them. As the verse says, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ, until when death comes unto one of them. At the time when they are about to depart this world and enter the afterlife, the curtains of conceit and ignorance will be lifted from before their eyes, and they will see the terrible fate ahead of them. they will observe the lives they have led and the potentialities they had and the duties they had. But they have neglected them all. They see the dreadful consequences of their sins that they have committed in the world. Now, at this time, such a person will cry out loud, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. The verse says, قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. He says, My Lord, send me back again. And then, in the next verse, he continues saying, that I might do righteousness in that which I have left behind. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتَ. But since the law of divine creation does not allow anyone, whether righteous or wrongdoer, to return to this world and make up for what they have neglected, the answer to him will be, كَلَّا. Nay.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. It is a mere word that he says. These are only words without thinking, without sincerity. This is what many wrongdoers usually say when they are about to be punished. In fact, these are the words that every murderer says when his eyes fall upon the gallows. But when the impending disaster is removed, the guilty again continue along their previous paths. In fact, we have a couple of verses of the Holy Quran suggesting this fact. This is similar to what we see in the chapter An'am in the 28th verse. بَلْ بَدَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And even if they were returned, they would revert to that which they were prohibited. Finally, the verse briefly and expressively refers to the mysterious intermediate world, the Barzakh, and says, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ Barzakh. And behind them is a partition, إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, until the day they shall be raised up again. But the fact is that they are just lying. The point is that when they return to the life of this world, when they see that the hereafter is really far away, they forget about their responsibilities again. They neglect their duties, and that's why the verse says, إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. They are nothing but liars. In the narrations we have that if they were given this chance and opportunity to be returned to life of this world for 100 times, they would continue to be on the wrong path. There are many points to be discussed regarding these two verses, dear listeners. We'll touch upon them in the next programs. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You are listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We were talking about As-Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya, supplication number 8 for Al-Imam Zainul Abidin, and we are still at the first verse where the Imam talks about greed, or as we call it, al-hirs. Now, how do we treat greed? So we spoke about the results, effects, fruits of greed, which is obviously the evil fruits of greed. Now, how do we treat it? How do we go on about making sure that we don't have greed? The first thing that we need to keep in mind is that we need to contemplate, because it's a mental disease. So it's an inner disease. And we have to dig deep down in our brains and in our beliefs and try to see how we can fix this problem that we have. So greed itself stems from the fact that we want things of this life. We hang on to them and we're trying to seek them and we're trying to take them. It's a matter of reconstructing our brains and our ideology by saying to ourselves, well, here's the thing. This world won't last long. Nothing will. Those before us who had everything, they never took anything with them. So why should I put myself in such a state where I'm only getting a sin, I'm going to be punished on the day of judgment, I live a miserable and sad life, and I'm not benefiting out of this. So it's a matter of talking with yourself and trying to make sense of this life. Is it really worth it or not? Because even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this life al-hayawan. It's just a, you know, it's just a, something that's very low, that does not even deserve to be, you know, deserves to for a person to spend all his life and all his effort in trying to seek it. It's so low. That's one of the names of it is dunya. It's called dunya because it's so low. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, اعلموا إنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله. Know that this life is just vain and entertainment. وزينة and just beauty. وتفاخر بينكم. And the Quran keeps adding more and more to what this dunya and this reality is. We will continue after the break, inshallah. So stay with us.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So we said we need to speak to ourselves and try to convince ourselves that this life is not worth it. Now, I was reading the ayah for you where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this world and how miserable it is and how bad it is, and there's nothing in it that deserves to be, you know, for one to kill himself over. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example. He says it is like a field of corn, for example, or a field of crops. You pick your crops, and then when you see it green and you see it fruiting, and then when it's, you know, green and yellow, you feel like all good. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of a sudden, He sends a storm and He turns it into dust, and you can see there's nothing left, just the roots, and you can see the difference. So Allah says, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by this world. This world is low. This world is not worth it. What you should be worried about is the afterlife. Allah says, وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. The real living, the real life is not here. It's down there once you pass over. So you need to work for your afterlife. So instead of saving that money for a world that would go, for a place that you would never take, try to give it away for the sake of a place that you will live in forever. Whatever money you have, if you donate, for example, if you give charity, if you give to the poor, if you make yourself happy, you make your family happy by spending on yourself, obviously in halal terms, you're at least you're happy in this world, you're getting satisfaction, and you're building your akhirah, you're building your afterlife. When that when you die, which is inevitable, everybody dies, at least you have something that you can take. So it's a matter of trying to convince yourself and working with yourself first and foremost. So you become your own psychologist, your own shrink, as we say. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا عَنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. What Allah has saved for you is much better and eternal. Because now what you have, it will go away. You're not going to have. So it is a matter of working with ourselves. That's the first thing. Let us take a break, and then inshallah we'll continue after.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So we're trying to find ways for us to treat greed, whether we have it or we are afraid to have it. So constantly we said we need to make sure we go over our beliefs and try to reprogram our brains and make sure they are going in the right track. Second thing that the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt always advise us to do is to remember death itself. The more you remember death, it becomes like a remedy, like a medicine for all types of sins, not just greed. So when you think of death and think that you might die any second, actually, because I could be talking to you now and I could drop at any second, as I had no expiry date, I got no warranty that will finish soon. I don't know. We don't know. No one does. And the fact that we don't know when we will die, it should scare me and you so much to say to myself, well, I should be constantly ready. So instead of me being greedy and thinking that I would live forever, let me change that. Think that I could die at any moment. If I die, I'm not going to take any of my wealth with me. So one needs to constantly remember death. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi says, death is hadumul laddat, the destroyer of pleasures, destroyer of desires. The more we remember death, the easier and better our life will be, because now I'm looking at something far more important than this world. I'm constantly trying to worry about myself. So instead of trying to save and gain that I'm going to leave, not just leave, but will be questioned about, I might as well just use it, spend it, make people happy, make myself happy, make my family happy, because I might not live long enough to enjoy it, like as we see with a lot of people before us. So these are two things that we can do to try to treat ourselves when it comes to greed. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
Midstream.
Samir Jaja's Lebanese forces thugs got themselves along with the entire country into a predicament by the malicious act of terrorism they committed last week in Beirut's Tayuni massacre. The ambush this militia conducted brought back the memories of all the genocidal massacres the Lebanese forces committed throughout the Lebanese civil war. However, this time, their misdeeds pushed to open the battle of liquidation of the American infiltrations into the state and its institutions. It is clear that Jaja hastened the security tensions and chose Ayn al-Rimayni versus al-Shiyah to awaken the memory of war and strife. This war criminal's higher goal is to drag the country into conflict to achieve his project of partition and confederation. The result? He will lose both goals and turn into a burden on the state, his Christian society, and the military establishment. He presented himself and his militia as a paranoid gang looking for chaos and security tensions. The ambush of Atayuni exposed Jaja's gang of terrorists. Reports of the officials of the Central Security Council confirmed the ambush, sniping, and the responsibility of the Lebanese forces known as UWIT. Direct media coverage of the live events showed how civilians and security personnel fell on the streets and inside their homes on one side of the area. Side of the resistance. This was not a clash nor a mini war, as the warlord Jaja called it. This was a one-sided terrorist attack against unarmed civilian protesters and innocent people who were sniped inside their own homes. From Beirut to the southern Numairiyeh, from Qardan Za'rir in the Biqa to Nahran in Al-Kura up north. The martyrs of the ambush of treachery by Jaja forces in Tayuni offered sacrifices on the altar of their homeland, which the Zionist American project wanted to slaughter with its old but renewed tools. No, we will not be dragged into a civil war, and we will not allow the international and regional sponsors of the aggressors to take the country to sedition, because we are strong and wise. We know how to act and react. We learned the hard way. We don't want strife and sedition, but everyone who lives within the borders of this country needs to take a clear stance with Jaja and his gang, who operate in the interest of the Americans and certain Arab parties that wants to see the country taken towards sedition. It is not up for debate that the security and judicial services must bear the responsibility and bring the criminals to justice. Any delay in this matter will be considered a partnership in spilling the blood of the innocent. The unarmed protest that aimed at exposing the black chambers whose agenda the judicial investigator in Beirut Ford explosion, Tariq Al-Bitar, is implementing turned into a massacre. This gives the people more persistence to counter this approach to the investigation, which has now been exposed as being invested in political and electoral schemes. Thank you for turning in for the Middle East Stream. I'm Marwa Osman. The years of imprisonment he deserved did not change him, and the experiences of political impotence and strategic failure did not teach him. He is still, despite the bleak outcomes of his entire destructive biography, attached to his instinct of bloodshed. Samir Jaja, head of the Lebanese Forces terrorist militia, has proved to be the longtime assassin whose belligerence knows no boundaries. Since his vile nature prevailed, any form of sane human behavior, as soon as his prison gates were opened, he resumed his old habits of slaying. In the face of this instinctive reality, one can argue about Samir Jaja's responsibility for Thursday's massacre in Beirut. The Tayuni massacre of October 14 of last week rekindles his old foul bets and renews the menace that once led him to prison. The bloodshed in Tayuni was bleakly signed with the killer's name. It drew his features all over the fallen bodies of innocent civilians whose only sin was to take part in an unarmed protest which Samir Jaja and his Lebanese forces militias did not approve of. To discuss this issue with us from Beirut is Dr. Ibrahim Moussaoui, member of the Lebanese parliament from the Loyalty to the Resistance bloc Hezbollah. Thank you very much for being with us, Dr. Ibrahim. All details of the Tayuni massacre were discussed in the Lebanese government and in the Security Council at Lebanon's Ministry of Interior, in the presence of the leaders of all security services in Lebanon, who unanimously agreed that members of the Lebanese forces had started this shooting against unarmed protesters who were all supporters of Hezbollah and Amal movement. In your professional opinion, do you think anyone will pay for this act of terrorism that took place in broad daylight?
Well, again, thank you for giving the opportunity, and condolences for all the families of the martyrs who were targeted by the terrorist militia, just like what you said. It's not a matter of opinion whether we think that this is going to happen or not. I believe that this is a case, this is a cause, this is a very novel issue to be pursued by everybody, actually, by the judiciary first, by the Lebanese state. All of the apparatuses, security and judiciary of the Lebanese state should be held responsible for following up the case, and we are going to follow up the case, and we are going definitely to reach a result. It's not a matter of opinion, it's a matter of decision, and the decision has been taken. The bloodshed of our martyrs and the blood of our martyrs is not going to be in vain whatsoever. We're going to pursue meticulously, on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, the whole issue, till we reach the result that the blood of our martyrs deserve.
Dr. Moussaoui, contradictions that were very risky ones were seen in the Lebanese army